The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, October 9th, and we have a Thursday night football game to break down between the Buccaneers and the Chicago Bears. Unfortunately, for my mentions, the Bears won 20-19. I think surprised everybody with their victory. I don't want to take away from it, but they were 3 of 10 on third down. They did finish with 243 total yards, averaging 4.1 yards per play. They couldn't really run the ball. They weren't very good on offense for most of the game, but they won. They won. What are you going to do about it? They won, and they're 4-1 now. And they, those Bears fans, are up in the old Menchies. They are letting me have it right now. So Ryan Wilson and John Breach, do I owe Bears fans an apology?
That was going to be my first question. Are you right now on the Thursday night post-game podcast going to apologize to he who shall not be named, Joe Musso, and the rest of the Bears fans?
I will apologize to Joe Musso. Joe Musso wanted everybody cut halfway through the game.
Maybe Bears fans need to apologize to themselves.
I will not apologize to Tom Fornelli, Bears fan, friend of the podcast, friend of mine in real life, co-worker of ours.
Yeah.
Because Tom.
Matt Snyder.
What's that?
Matt Snyder, too. I forgot him.
I'll apologize to Matt Snyder. Snyder touched me after the game. It was like 4-1 in your face.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He actually just texted me a picture of a giant bear, like, wiggling around and, like, dancing. It was pretty funny. I won't apologize to what's-his-face in law school. No, screw that guy.
Law school.
Yeah, law school. Like, if you, this guy tweets more than I do.
Yeah, about
sports and movies.
And
this
Arsenal.
This is blank McBlanker. Your son ain't doing anything. He is at law school tweeting about sports.
Oh, no.
Surprise. We got a surprise.
He's on the podcast.
Oh,
what a great surprise.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What a big jam.
Sean, makes his return. You sneaky little S-ball. Good job by you.
So Sean's wearing his Brinson hat sucks, as he should be. Literally, as you called in,
Beetlejuice.
Brinson was crushing you about not doing anything at law school, how your mom's wasting her and your dad's money. And to prove the point, Devo got you on the call.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I had to come by because I had to thank Will Brinson for continuing to pick against the Bears. And like, I should have known when he released his preseason standings and he had the Lions in first in the Bears class. Like, I should have known we were guaranteed to get to at least 9-10 wins just by him doing that. And then every week he doubles down the Bears. Look, I got it after week one. That was a terrible win. I'm not going to take credit for it whatsoever. But every single week, and Ryan has been like the only person on this podcast, and I hate to give Ryan a lot of credit here, but a couple weeks ago, Brinson said the Bears are acting like they're 3-0, and Ryan finally came back and said, well, they are 3-0, and that's why they're acting like they're 3-0.
Now, I hate to be the guy defending Brinson here, Sean. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you come on the podcast. You've been here for 30 seconds and you have me defending Brinson. You just said he was justified to do it because week one win was terrible. Well, their week two win was terrible. Their week three win was terrible. They lost in week four. So I understand why Brinson hasn't exactly jumped on the Bears bandwagon.
Here's the thing, though. You start winning enough games. It's hard to win football games in the NFL. I understand one bad win. Not indicative of things to come. If you keep stacking wins, I think that matters, even if they don't look pretty. And I don't think the Bears the rest of the way are ever going to look pretty playing football. But the fact of the matter is that their defense is good enough for them, their offense to hang around in games. And Foles is streaky enough that he can get hot for a couple of drives. And this isn't to say the Bears are a good team. I'm not going to say they're on the level of other three or four win teams. I don't think they're bad, though. And that's what I've been hearing nonstop from this guy in the bottom left corner, is that the Bears are bad. The Bears are fine, and they're 4-1 with an expanded playoffs. They're probably headed for the playoffs statistically.
All right, so should I tweet out this picture of you on the Zoom call or let people be surprised by the fact?
Let them know.
I kind of think it's better if you just let it play.
All right. Surprise them.
I don't know.
So yeah, look, you're a law school student. What do you know about social media? Yeah.
Law school student on a school night drinking beer.
I will say this.
Say sparkling water.
This is I'm taking it in the face on this Bears thing. I get it. That is fine. They should probably be. I mean, can't we agree that the Bears should be?
But they're not. That's the point.
One in four. Say it, Brinson. But say the record you want to say. No.
If you're going to do this, the Bears should be.
All right. Well, let's give the Bears the doubt of luck. They should be 2-3.
Okay. Yes,
because this game was not lucky. You can say neither team played good football.
Look, you're here. You can talk some Bears. We don't need to do this full, dunking all over me. Nobody wants to hear that for 15 or 25.
That's the only reason I can't.
Brinson, if the Bears make the playoffs, I think you should let Bears fans dunk on you by getting a dunk tank.
Except
we fill the dunk tank with like
live Bears,
marinara sauce and Bears. Bear cubs. Bear cubs. We don't want them to maul you.
Like bear fur and Vaseline. It would coat your body, Ryan.
Gotcha.
All right, so Sean, here's my first question, because I was in a heated text thread exchange with Pete, I would kick Prisco, and Nick Costos and Jamie Eisenberg over Bruce Arians' decision to take the field goal and take the lead on 4th and 1 inside the red zone.
Yeah.
With roughly 4.5 minutes left. And I'll pull up the exact stuff here
I was fine with that, and I'm pro go for it all the time.
This is such a Brinson move because he's getting demolished by me, and he knows he's bringing up something that I'm going to agree with him on.
No, it's not. I mean,
trying to ally with me. No, I would have.
I literally got yelled at, not yelled at. I got told to keep the podcast short. And then Debo, who's like, let's keep it 25 minutes, then brings you on as a guest, which is obviously going to make this go.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about anything specific from the game yet. And we're like 10 minutes in.
Debo informs me that's out the window for tonight. And credit to Debo for planning. How was this win or lose or just win
right
last second thing? How planned was this?
Right after the game ended. I was settling in to read 20 pages, and then Debo texted me, and I was like, well, to answer your question, I know where you're going with this, because you love, Brinson, the do what the other team's fans don't want you to do. Yeah. I wanted him to kick the field goal, because if they don't get the fourth down, my thinking is that the Bears are probably going 3 and out, because they're not going to be aggressive, and they're just going to punt the ball right back to the Bucs, and they are in the exact same situation where they only need a field goal.
Yeah.
And I also did not want the first quarter, whenever they went for the 4th and 1 at their own 19.
Their own 19. That's what
I wanted them to go for it for the simple reason that like, I just thought the Bears at that point offense was so bad that even though I thought they might get it, I would rather take the risk and get the ball at the 19 yard line.
So, they kicked from Chicago's 7 yard line on 4th and 1. If you go, I think to me and, Edge Sports points out that there was, I think they gained 2% in terms of win expectancy. Maybe unless it was 0.2 and I read that wrong. They lost 8% pre-snap by deciding to kick it in win expectancy. And that played out in real time. Here's the thing for me. 4th and 1 on Chicago 7 and you are trailing 17-16.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, you don't get it. As Sean points out correctly, I think, the Bears are running with David Montgomery 3 times and punting it as hard as they can, hoping to lose their timeout.
Which is an argument for kicking it. Get the 3 points, and then your defense can dominate a really terrible Bears offense.
No, because if you're up by 1 point,
you're going to get another look to kick. Like, you're going to get another chance to kick because you're getting the ball back at, like, your own 35 at worst if they bomb the punt. I'm saying that's –
yeah, but that's what you want if you're the Bears, because the Buccaneers – the Bears defense played well. I thought the field goal made sense also because – you want to have the lead. Do you want to have the lead or do you not have the lead, not have the lead with under 5 minutes left to play? Like if this is the third quarter, I think you absolutely go for it. No questions asked. Under 5 minutes left to play against the Bears defense that you had trouble moving the ball on. I'm getting out to the lead because there's no guarantee that I'm going to be able to drive down the field again on the Bears defense.
I understand that argument. My point is just that the middle situation where it's like it's not the best case, but it's not the worst case is, you pick up the fourth down and you still have to kick anyway. And you've just melted a bunch of time off that Nick Foles can't use. And the Bears are going to have to try to be more aggressive, et cetera. And then best case scenario, you punch in for a touchdown. You get the 2-point conversion. You're up 7 and Foles has to go get a touchdown. To me, going up 2 points, even though it's the lead and it's awesome, like the Bears can get within field goal range. And I know no Bears fans are confident in their field goal kicking.
And there was no reason to be confident based on what we saw the previous 50 minutes. I mean, they were throwing checkdowns all day, and David Montgomery is running into the back of his lineman.
Well, and I think that's the thing where analytics clashes with a coach's feel of how the game's being played out so far, because what Bruce Arians had seen in the second half is, if we get this lead, the Bears went 3 and out on their first drive, the Bears went 3 and out on their second drive, and the Bears had a short drive where they kicked a field goal. Like, he loved the way his defense was playing, so his thought process was, we'll get the lead, shut them down, game over.
I don't think it's cut or dry either way. Like, I think you can say what me and Brinson are saying, and I'm just going from the perspective of how I felt as a Bears fan. In that moment,
like you're like, please kick it, please.
Because I think the Bears can go down and kick a field goal. I have a hard time believing they can score a touchdown against that defense.
I mean, the Bears' two touchdowns, and they only got two of them, were scored the final 2 minutes of the first half, and it was sort of like just this weird flurry of Nick Foles blacking out and going YOLO and making some big time throws, which Nick Foles is prone to do. It wasn't,
and one came from the turnover, Keyshawn Vaughn fumble in the middle of the field.
That's right, which was actually ruled incomplete originally, and then on review, because it was under 2 minutes.
Ruled a penalty of initially.
I know.
Overturned.
That's right, yeah. I mean, look, it's one of those things where it is personal choice. There is, as Pete Prisco's like, game flow, idiot. I would kick. Take the points. Game flow. Game flow matters. So does opponent. Like, yeah, of course it does. I get why he kicked. I wasn't, like, apoplectic at the time. It's just sort of, as it was happening, you're like, man, this feels like it's going to bite him.
Let me throw in that on the very next drive where the Bears punted on 4th and 8 from their own 33, analytics also said you should have gone for it there.
And I wanted them to go for it.
Oh, see, I thought you punted there if I was.
And that's another thing. That's where Matt Nagy says, do I trust my offense more to convert a 4th and 8 or do I trust my defense more to stop the Bucs? And if I'm Nagy, I trust my defense more, even though the numbers, without taking any of that into account, say you should go for it. And so I thought Nagy made the right decision there going against. And I mean, it worked out.
That's a fair point. I mean, it was 4th and 8 at your own 33. At that point, I think with 2:59 left, so you had the 2 minute warning and you had all three of your timeouts. And you felt like the Bucs would probably be conservative. They came out and ran the ball the first time. Rojo got smashed in the backfield. And then Tom Brady threw twice. It was both incomplete. It's like, ooh, you shouldn't. Probably should have been conservative and run the ball.
Well, and also the Bears pass defense, I think, is probably among the tops in the league, if not the tops in the league. And they're not very good against the run. And Rojo was incredible for most of that game. So as a Bears fan, that was my fear, is that they were just going to run it 3 times and pick up a first down. And so I was almost relieved seeing Brady drop back to pass, because that's playing into what the strengths of the Bears defense is.
Hey, you remember a few weeks ago when I said that Gronk is washed and not everyone was super happy with the way that I phrased it. He sucks.
Jeez.
That was your reaction 2 weeks ago. He is not good. And it's not his fault that Brady keeps targeting him.
He looks like me climbing out of bed every morning.
I was going to say, if you gain 5 inches and 100 pounds or whatever, and we told you to let them run routes, that's what you would look like. You would look like Gronk.
What does it say about the Buccaneers offense, but that the guy that Ryan says is washed up was their second leading receiver?
Now, Chris Godwin's out. Scotty Miller had a groin injury. He still played. We know that Mike Evans was banged up from getting hurt, but he played as well.
Who is 88 Hudson? And why is he a stunt double for Cameron Brate? What is he doing here?
He is 100% a stunt double for Cameron
Brate. What is he doing? He's like, oh, Brate! It was like, Hudson, who the F is Hudson?
And by the way, the team's leading receiver, Tyler Johnson's a rookie fifth round pick, who I don't think played the first few weeks.
Shout out to RJ White, who who said play him for $200 in DFS. I think he was in the winning lineup.
Yeah, nowhere on that list will you see Scotty Miller's name, who I started in fantasy.
That's right. Ryan Wilson's unbelievable streak of is it back-to-back games of starting wide receivers on your fantasy roster with 0 points, despite receiving. Scotty, can you get a target?
Since we have Sean here, I got to ask him this question. Sean,
how long are you staying, by the way, Sean? Are you staying
10 more minutes. I have like 21 pages and I have a practice midterm.
Sean, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took a 13-0 lead with 7:03 left in the second quarter, what was your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 100, with 1 being the absolute lowest, we have no chance of winning?
A 2? It would be a 1 with any other bad team, but like the Bears had pulled enough things out of their butt over the course of the season that like, and it was 13. That was the key. And the Bears defense didn't play well early. I don't think they played well by their standards, but the fact that they were holding them to field goals was keeping them around. No, I didn't feel good. I mean, I tweeted about Taylor Bray. I don't even know his first name. And I was almost like, this guy's active. Like Nick Foles is not hitting 5-yard wide open passes. There's that one in the first drive of the game on that third down, Allen Robinson wide open. And then there was the deep bomb that could have been a touchdown if he puts it in front of the receiver. And it kind of felt like, oh my God, we're heading back to Trubisky if this whole game doesn't go well. That's what it honestly felt like it was trending towards.
I don't know if you heard Sean, but I think Nagy said that this is, what's his face's job? No, Nick Foles' job for the rest of the year.
Oh, did he actually say that?
I heard that maybe on NFL Network. So I don't know if Nagy's, it came out of his mouth. Someone reported it. So I think that's the word on the street.
Well, I'm happy because I mean,
he didn't look great, but I mean, to your point, they are winning ugly. And if you stack these wins and then Nick Foles pulls a Nick Foles and then he reels off 3 or 4 in a row and you know, next thing you know, they're 9-2 and Brinson's been shamed off Twitter.
Yeah, come on, let's settle down, right?
It is pretty ironic that I spent all of last season calling the Packers frauds for like not looking good and winning a bunch of games, and now like.
But this is different. Just, like, this is like
worse though. They look worse.
No, it's like it's like the, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like this. It's like a super homeless, crippled man's version of the Seahawks from last year. Does that make sense? Like a homeless version of the Seahawks.
I don't see any similarities between the Seahawks.
Let's say like the 2017 Bills with Nathan Peterman.
No, I'm
there
saying,
we
like,
go.
I'm saying,
oh, yeah, yeah, like the yeah.
No, the Seahawks kept having to pull off these ridiculous second half comebacks.
And but that was all Russ. I don't know how this.
It's the exact opposite.
It's like the Seahawks without Russ. Like how are they doing this? There's no reason they should be doing this. But look, credit to them. They're 4-1. You're right. They probably are going to the playoffs. And I mean, you know, Foles was 30-42 for 243 yards, a touchdown and a pick. The pick, not really his fault. I guess. I mean, Allen Robinson, you'd think he'd be used to playing with terrible quarterbacks so long that he would have known how to pop it up in the air, just you know, slap it down, knock it away from him. David Montgomery, I actually thought looked really good, but the Buccaneers run defense is very stout. Allen Robinson is his typical self. Jimmy Graham is somehow working out as a signing.
He
catches touchdown passes.
Jimmy Graham is not good. That touchdown catch was amazing, but there's a throw over the middle that was broken up where he stuck his arms out like behind his body to try to catch the pass. I don't know what that was. It's like he's not trying half the time. He's been the same player
for the last 4 years.
Fair enough. Let me ask you this.
So by the way, after tonight, quick update on Nick Foles' statistical line, Jimmy Graham's statistical line. He now on the season has 28 targets, 17 catches. I can't do math. 169 yards and 4 touchdowns.
The 4 is great. Yeah.
That is crazy.
He's doing better than Gronk. I mean, I'll give him that. But then
he's not good. But I'm not going to defend the signing because I still think it sucked. But he still performs an important fuck. Yeah, and the Bears are so bad at putting the ball in the end zone that like he actually does play an important role in the team. Again, not defending the signing whatsoever. And like Cole Kmet has done absolutely nothing, which makes that draft pick also look terrible. But like he does perform a function at least.
Do we all agree that the last play notwithstanding, just exclude that Tom Brady got outplayed by Nick Foles on Thursday night?
Nick Foles had a total Nick Foles game where he looked like crap. He looked like he couldn't play in the XFL for 1.5 quarters, and he looked like Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles for 2.5 quarters, and then Tom Brady looked like a 43-year-old man trying to play football for the whole game at, you know, a Tom Brady 43-year-old man level. So I don't know. I wouldn't say it was obvious.
Okay, well, look, we'll talk about Tom Brady after the break, and you know, Sean has to go pretend that he has to do work because – Lord knows we can't have his parents listening to this podcast and be like, wait, why were you on for 60 minutes?
I will be back when the Bears are 8-1.
Hold on. We have to get a life update from you. How is Colorado?
It's good.
How are the edibles?
The same as they were in California.
All right. It's legal everywhere. Are you still dating the same girl?
I still am.
Okay. Is there, you know, anything serious on the horizon?
In terms of what?
You know, babies, rings.
And are you going to make the announcement on the podcast?
In terms of, yes. No.
We need to know. We need a check-in. The listeners.
I don't think they want a dating check-in.
They want a check-in on your life. What's going on? How's law school?
Is that a baby in the background? What is going on here?
On YouTube?
Yeah, it is on YouTube.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I wore the hat then. No, I mean, literally all I do now.
That thing around all of you walking around campus and that thing.
Campus is closed. All I do is read. So
ironically, you left.
What do you read? Like Berenstain Bears or like Amelia Bedelia?
He reads the CBA like 24/7.
Pretty much. I mean, you know how like I was like, I'm not bothered to read the CBA. It is literally that for like 10 hours a day. And then I sleep and then I wake up and I do it again.
Have you picked up like an Adderall habit? Like what's going on?
No, man. Like,
you're just reading.
Reading about the
Sean, you don't work for CBS anymore. You can be as forthcoming as you want.
I do not take Adderall. Yeah. Just put that on the record.
That's right. It's nothing wrong with it. I'm just.
By the way, before Sean goes, I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter. Brady did not shake Nick Foles' hand after the game. He ran straight.
That could be a COVID thing, right? Where's he shaking
hands? Yeah, you're not supposed to shake hands. Everybody who has been shaking hands has actually been breaking NFL policy.
No. What Ryan meant to say was he actually walked up to Brady and did like the wrestling X chop. It's like, gotcha again, sucker.
Did you guys see the Brady eye roll when Max sacked him for like the third time?
He did not want to look at him.
There's a great video where like Mac is just staring at him on the ground and Brady, like the camera zooms in and Brady rolls his eyes and looks away.
And then also, who's the left tackle? The
box. Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith is like trying to give Brady a hand and Brady like won't take it. And then Donovan's like, I'm sorry.
I think that was the same sack, by the way.
Don't look at me. And start cussing everybody out. Okay, we'll talk about the Buccaneers after the break. Sean, wait, that was a terrible life update, by the way.
Because I don't have a life. It's literally just reading.
You just wake up, read law school stuff.
He's somehow more hipster than he was before he left.
He's lived in Colorado
Here's the biggest indication how little of a life I have. Since I've moved from Oakland, I have watched 2 total movies.
Wow.
2.
They were both.
Which ones? Are they adult films?
Oh god, they weren't even like good too. I don't even want to like say it, but actually one's good. I watched The Martian.
Great. What are you talking about?
And both of the movies were watched when Emily came to visit right before school started. So like, I haven't watched the movie alone.
God, that's the first time he's ever said her name on the podcast.
Did you watch Paul Blart Mall Cop?
No, we watched The Martian, which is a good movie. And then we watched Crawl, which is like a alligator movie.
Did you watch Corky Romano?
No.
You're wasting your time in college, and that's the stuff I was watching, Sean.
Well, this is college for you.
Use a little quick tour around the place there.
No, let's not do
that. This is a YouTube exclusive tour.
Nintendo 64? Like, what's going on here?
Am I doing what?
You have like a Nintendo 64. You play GoldenEye during the
day. Do you have a neighbor that's going to get mad at you for talking late at night?
I don't know. I mean, I helped her. What's the other day?
What is your friend? Or do you have like? Do you have law school friends, or how does that work in virtual law school?
It's, I mean, I have people I talk to. Like, everyone in the class is in like a group me.
Do you go get like subsections or like what's?
Not for like a month or so because we had another like order come down like forbidding anyone from hanging out because cases were spreading not to law school but across the entire school.
Sean has a roommate who's Tom Brady's age.
You have a roommate?
Yeah, you think on my fat income of going to law school, I can afford to?
Are you in a dorm? Or are you in a?
No, I'm in an apartment.
Oh, you're off campus.
Is your roommate a baby, like at my house?
No, he's Tom Brady's age.
You have a roommate? You didn't know who he was before you got there?
No, I mean, we had chatted on the phone when I like tried to get the place.
How old is he?
40. I just told you. He's Tom Brady's age.
Nothing's changed, I see.
I thought he was just making like a hyperbole thing.
He's actually 43.
Yeah.
I guess I was like, what an old loser. And I'm like, wait, that's
older than me.
That is me. That's me. It's younger. It's between me and Ryan. What kind of music does he like?
What are we doing?
You were supposed to get a break like 10 minutes ago. I was supposed to start
reading. Debo has quit, by the way. We no longer have a
producer. What kind of music does my roommate like?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, I want to know, like, how does he, like, is he like, oh, this asshole's.
I've gotten him into brand new, so.
Oh, my God.
It's worked out well.
It worked out well for whom?
Cyanide edibles? all right, I guess we'll let you go, too. I guess we'll let you go study. If I see a tweet for about Arsenal or Chelsea or the Bears or anything.
Chelsea?
I don't know. You tweet about everything. You think we get you to stop tweeting about like Chelsea or Arsenal or
whatever.
Music. You just won't stop doing.
Real quick before I go, Brinson, who are you picking for the Bears next game? For me, I don't know who we're playing, I'll be honest, but
Carolina.
If
Brinson does not pick the Bears over the Panthers, that means he's gone full Brinson, where he is just picking against them to spite Bears fans.
Which
is possible.
Or for me, because I think that, like, again.
I'll tell you what, let's make a deal.
Yeah, make a deal.
Bears Panthers will have a bet. If the Bears win, I will not only fulfill my clothing obligations to your family.
Oh my God.
But I will also mail you, a pint, or a collection.
Oh, stop.
Of North Carolina's finest cuisines and adult beverages to your little place with your 43-year-old roommate. If the Panthers win, you have to mail me Colorado's finest.
Are you asking me to commit a felony live?
I'm asking you to
send me some, no, thank you.
You're a lawyer. You interpret it incorrectly,
Rocky
Sean.
Rocky Mountain oysters. That's all I'm looking for is Rocky Mountain oysters.
You can get those in North Carolina.
Yeah, you can get those. You can go down to a local farm and chop off cow's nuts. I'm just saying, Sean.
I'm trying to think of a better bet.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If the Panthers win, there was no way on planet Earth Brinson was going to fulfill his end of the bargain anyway.
Exactly.
No, if the Panthers win, I'm going to eat some of Colorado's finest cuisine.
That's what I'm saying.
Jim Sean wearing the t-shirt his mom's supposed to get.
Exactly. That's right.
My mom wants it anymore, to be honest, now that I'm not on the podcast.
You're literally on the podcast right now.
He's not getting paid. He's doing it for free.
Yeah, and I've got my crappy, you know.
He's donating his time.
Yeah. All right, Sean, before you go, what are you reading? What? Tell us in 10 seconds so we can get out of here.
Civil procedure.
Oh, God.
Or as they call it in the business, Civ Pro.
Oh.
You're lucky when Brinson was offering to perform a contract that he had already promised to do that I didn't go into contract legal talk because I was almost about to.
I've been a certified paralegal. My dad's a lawyer.
It's time to cut off, Sean.
Yeah, we're done. No.
All right, Sean.
Are you kidding me? Asked me what my roommate listens to.
Good to see
actually,
you.
Funnily enough, he listens to a lot of like Colin Cowherd, like First Take. Like it's a reminder that like a lot of people I guess I can diss First Take and Colin Cowherd. I'm not going to do this anymore, but like, it's a reminder that like people who aren't like on Twitter and aren't like on the internet, there are people who actually do consume this like every single day, like in the background.
Your roommate is like, he's like, I got to read some Civ Pro and like fires up First.
Stephen A. Smith's just like jabbering in my ear.
Stabbed my face in the eyeballs.
In his defense, that's to drown out the brand new and Sean talking stupidly about Arsenal.
I need this to focus. He's like, well, that's fine. I need this too. And cranks up First Take. All right, buddy. It's
bye, Sean.
Good to see you guys. See you guys when the Bears are 8-1.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, that's the Bears talk for the podcast. Man, I got to, Debo. So how long have you been thinking about that? That's a good plan. That was good. That was well planned.
You know, I mean, it was all cultivated because of you and your Bears hatred. You know, at some point I knew that I wanted to bring Sean back onto the podcast at some point during the season, but you definitely spurred that on over the past couple weeks, today especially, and the Bears 4-1 start didn't hurt matters. So after the game, send him a quick text.
I don't know. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Sean's been just vindicated all season. The Sean McVay, Doug Peterson game, and now the Eagles look like trash. This has just been the year of Sean, but he's not here to gloat anymore, which is probably for the best.
It is. It was unbelievable when I'm like ranting, like thrashing Sean. It was
that's great timing.
And I was like, who's entering the Zoom? Oh no, it's definitely Sean.
It's Brenton Sucks.
Yep. Where did Brenton Sucks at? Anyway, all right, look. But you know what? At least I didn't forget it was fourth down like Tom Brady did. Bruce Arians, as Breach notes in Slack, claimed after the game that Tom Brady did know it was fourth down. That's hard to believe, Breach, because Tom Brady throws a pass well past the sticks, an aggressive throw that was sort of like, all right, if I get this on third down, then if I don't get this on third down, I'll have a shot on fourth down. And then holds up four fingers, which, you know, if you're on defense, no fingers. Offense, usually four fingers indicates it is, in fact, fourth down. Do you think, Breach, that Tom Brady knew it was fourth down?
There is 0% of me that thinks Tom Brady knew it was fourth down. He had no idea what it was going on. He's literally walking up to the ref trying to play the Tom Brady card. Like, I'm Tom Brady. You think I forgot what down it was? You guys messed up. I didn't mess up. You're giving us the fourth down. I'm getting on this field. I'm running this play, which would actually be fifth down. And so that was pretty mind boggling to see that, because this is Tom Brady. He's been playing the NFL for 20 years. You don't see him make mistakes like this. And you know what's funny is that one of Ryan Wilson's favorite lines is, when I think of mistakes that teams and coaches make, I always ask myself, would a Bill Belichick coach team make this mistake? And ironically enough, I think the answer is no. And now that Tom Brady is playing for the not as disciplined Buccaneers, this happens. This was totally mind-boggling, shocking. I mean, this is everything. You just don't see someone like Tom Brady making a mistake like this. I don't care what Bruce Arians said. Brady did not know what down it was.
I will say that, like, it's worse, but it's basically the same thing as Brian Hoyer did for the Patriots at halftime when he took the sack.
Yeah, but there's
that's halftime. That's not the fourth quarter.
Getting his fourth down is way more embarrassing.
And not only that, the only thing that Brian Hoyer and Tom Brady have in common is that they're both humans. After that, the conversation.
They played for the Patriots.
I don't even know if
born in California. I don't know if that's true about Hoyer.
Yeah, I don't know. Brian Hoyer seems like he's a Midwestern guy. I will say this. I wonder what Ryan Jensen, the center, was thinking, because remember late, like in the second half after, on one series, the Buccaneers, they had close to 455 penalties. And at the end of that drive on the bench, Tom Brady, I think, was just going absolutely ape dookie on Ryan Jensen for one of the penalties. and just ranting and raving like we've seen Tom Brady do before. I wonder what Ryan Jensen was thinking after Tom Brady held up the four, like he had one more down after Tom Brady virtually, well, threw the game away. Like he targeted Cameron Brate on an impossible pass. Before that, I think he targeted Rob Gronkowski, who was not open, when he thought it was second down, and lost the game.
And I also wonder why Bruce Arians defended him after the – Bruce Arians has been shown he's willing to throw Tom Brady under the bus like he did a few weeks ago with those interceptions in the Saints game. And this time he's kind of defending him, which is – with Brady's not a rookie. This is like Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert. I would get why the coach is being protective. You don't want to throw your rookie under the bus. But Bruce Arians has already done it, so I was surprised that he came out and defended him after the game.
Well, remember, he sort of walked back the interception comment after the first week, and then he later walked back the Gronkowski comment when he told me, you know, we don't throw the tight ends in this offense. So you sort of, I mean, that's at least something to monitor going forward. This is not a game that the Buccaneers could not lose. I mean, they were 3.5-point favorites when it closed. They opened up 5.5-point favorites. They were up 13-0. Felt like it should have been 17-0.
Easily.
It would not have been crazy if they blew out the Bears, but
They lost is troubling.
The way that they lost is troubling. What's more troubling, and it's just they had a chance to really open up that division. And now the Saints are hosting the Chargers on Monday night. The Panthers are playing the Falcons, so that's gonna be, you know, one of those teams. The Panthers could get 3-2.
Panthers could be tied for first place. And then they just have to beat a winless team.
And then they just have to beat the fraudulent Bears next week, and all of a sudden they're
four. You know, one thing I will say about the Buccaneers, though, is that besides the fact that they need to do better, you know, like they got held to so many field goals. You got to score a couple touchdowns on those drives. If you just get one more touchdown, you win this game. We already talked about the 4th-and-1, but I think one thing we did not talk about was the insanely horrible roughing the passer call on Shaq Barrett on 3rd-and-19. You call that. And so that was late in the 4th quarter. The Bears ended up punting anyway, but this is the difference between the Bears punting at their own 16 and the Bears punting at their 33. And a big reason that decision ended up working out, you know, that's the analytics when we talked where you could have gone for it, is because the Bears pin the Buccaneers so deep. Well, you're punting from your own 16. You're not, you shoot out a 50 yard punt. That's still only going to 34 yard line with no return. So, and if you have a 5-yard return, now you're at the 40. The Buccaneers have really good field position, and that's a game changer because now you only need about 25 yards to get in field goal range to add on your lead. So that was, I mean, there were some very interesting officiating calls in this game, to say the least.
11 penalties for 109 yards for the Buccaneers. And I mean, I get that Shaq Barrett penalty should have been 10 for like 90 something, but the Buccaneers were still doing a bunch of stupid things that whole game.
Yeah, I spent a good 5 minutes on the Pick Six podcast show on HQ on Thursday afternoon extolling the virtues of how well this offensive line has been playing. And the lasting memory after Tom Brady holding up a four was Khalil Mack hip-tossing 320-pound Tristan Wirfs after a sack. And that is – Tristan Wirfs is a wrestler, by the way. Tristan Wirfs can jump out of a pool and land on the side of the pool. And Khalil Mack treated him like when you throw your kid around at the bouncy house – and your kid's just going for a ride.
Okay.
Well, you don't toss your kid around the bouncy house?
I do, Ryan. And that, she can't even walk yet, so it makes it more fun.
Yeah. Brinson's face was the face.
Is your kid 7 months now?
Not yet. Six.
Six months old as of Wednesday, October 7th. So
that's great.
6 months and 2 days when people listen to this.
I was texting my cousin who's you know, pregnant, and she's – we just texted about something. She was like, I was like, so wait, what's the due date again? She was like, January. I was like, January. I was like, I thought you got pregnant, like found out you were pregnant like last week. What's happening? you don't see anybody for months. And all of a sudden she did me, and she was, anyway. The Buccaneers were really sloppy. The Bears didn't do anything too stupid, it felt like, for the most part, right?
No. And their defense actually got better as the game went on to the point where Tom Brady got flustered.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned Khalil Mack in that toss of Tristan Wirfs. He also had a move on Donovan Smith.
Ooh-wee.
Where Donovan Smith gets too far, he gets set too far outside, and Mack's like, please, dude, and just glides inside. You would see this occasionally with the Patriots, but not very often, where Tom Brady would just have to take, like, you would see it all the time with Peyton Manning, where
give up sack.
A free rusher would come flying in and he would just drop. You almost never saw that with the Patriots. And then
the give up sack, he had a few give up sacks.
I mean, he was there for 20 years. I can think of like five.
But the stat that I said today on Thursday afternoon was that he was getting sacked 3.1% of the time through the first four games. That's how well the offensive line had been playing. Last year in New England, 4.2% of the time. Well, that flipped. So, yeah, there were a lot more give up sacks on Thursday night, it felt like.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, you guys said the Bears never really shot themselves in the foot. But the Bears won this game. They only had two drives the entire game that went over 40 yards. And they won this game. And I thought one of the biggest mistakes, even though he got hit pretty well, was Vaughn's fumble with under 2 minutes left in the first half.
They're punting, and the Bears would probably like running the ball and taking knees.
Exactly. And then instead, Chicago picks it up at Tampa's 27-yard line, and they score a touchdown four plays later. So instead of the Buccaneers being up 13-7 at halftime, all of a sudden you're trailing 14-13. And if you're the Bears, what are you good at? Your defense is really good, and you're leading at halftime. So that gives you a little confidence, a little swagger going into the half.
And, you know, you mentioned that the Bears didn't have – they had one drive over 50 yards. Well, you know, in the second half –
two.
Is that right? Two?
Yeah.
I'm only seeing one over 50.
They had a field goal drive that was like 59.
It was 45. Oh, it was 59. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And then a touchdown drive that was 75.
I was looking at just offensive yards. Well, the Bucs didn't have a single one over 60 in the second half. You know, I mean, they only had one over 60 in the first half, but I mean, like, including that, sorry, I keep looking at the freaking, gross. Anyway, they didn't have one over 70. The Bears locked them down. They locked them down and were not going to let them score a touchdown. And that's the difference. Like, the Bucs settled for two field goals in the second half, and the Bears were able to capitalize and do just enough to get the win, to get the field goal. And look, it's an NFL season where we don't know for sure that everybody's going to play 16 games. Every win right now almost feels like, you know, like in DraftKings where like you designate a captain, you get 1.5 points. Like a win right now, because you just don't know how you're going to like who you're going to have week to week. You know, a win is like 1.5 points, it feels like.
And the Bears, that means the Bears have 6 points right now.
I mean, I was half joking that if the Titans keep getting new COVID cases and the NFL never makes them forfeit, they're going to get the number one seed in the AFC playoffs because they're going to be 3-0. They're going to be the only undefeated team. And that's kind of what you have here. And like the Buccaneers, we talked about the NFC South race for a second, but like you just look at next week, their next game, they're playing the Packers. They could very easily be 3-3 after week six. And all of a sudden, we're talking, you know, it's not as bad as the NFC East, but we could see someone winning this division with just 10 wins. And we thought this was going to be a 12 or 13 win division winner.
Here's what Tampa has coming up. Packaneers.
I love it. Packaneers.
I'm going to hashtag Packaneers.
Packaneers. You just pulled a breach.
Oh, my God.
Green Bay Packaneers. Love it.
What does a Packaneer mascot look like?
So bad. You don't want to know.
Then they're at the Raiders, which feels like a game they should probably win. But
like the Saints lost in Vegas, you know, like that could go either way.
Right. Then they're at the Giants, probably win that.
I'll agree with that.
Saints at home. I think that's a coin flip game. At the Panthers and then Rams at home.
And then what's after that?
I haven't expanded the little Google.
The Chiefs.
Oy. Then the Vikings. Their final four games are Vikings at home, at Falcons, at Lions, Falcons at home. That looked a lot tougher 3 weeks ago. Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, December's winnable, but that's that.
You got to get
there.
Who
knows what they're going to be. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, if you're at six wins going December, you're fighting for a playoff spot, needing to sweep those four games.
Man, maybe seven teams now, but you need three or four, maybe something like that.
But I mean, you're probably not feeling like you're winning the division. I mean,
right. That's right. I mean, and by the way, week one, we were really concerned about Tom Brady. Week five, I'm again now sort of concerned about Tom Brady.
I know. Week four, we're like, Brady's back. What if Brady's unlocked the Bruce Arians offense? And all of a sudden, they can go vertical against anybody. And now it's like, I'm a little worried about Tom Brady again.
People were injured. We get all that. But again, everybody's injured. So that's not an excuse.
Yeah. And dudes, they didn't make plays. They didn't show up like a team that felt like they needed to execute at the highest possible level to beat Chicago.
which shouldn't have taken a lot given how poorly that Chicago offense looked.
Well, and it's like, man, you go in there and beat Chicago and you have 10 days until you play Green Bay. And like you're 4-1 because they would have been 4-1, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 4-1. You're like, all right, we take down Green Bay. All of a sudden, like, we feel like we're in control for the number one seed in the NFC. And now you're like, oh, we sort of really need to beat Green Bay at home just to.
And Breach, is there any chance that this Green Bay-Tampa game gets moved to Thursday?
I think they would have announced it right now because Tampa would need to know. They need to prepare, you know, because they would start that preparation.
Why would
the coaching staff would do it? What?
Oh, because they're moving the.
Because there's not going to be a Thursday game next week. If Bills-Titans is Tuesday now, we don't have a Thursday game. And the only game on the schedule in week 6 that would make sense to move there was Green Bay versus Tampa, because you had Tampa getting a full week's rest playing on Thursday, and you had Green Bay coming off the bye in week 5. So they wouldn't have been too snubbed or too upset if that happened. But I think they would have announced that today with the rest of the changes, because if they announced that, say, Saturday, Bruce Arians would be like, wait, so now I have to play on Thursday and I'm only getting 4 weeks of prep for this or 4 days of prep for this. So I would say probably not, but who knows? It's COVID times. NFL will do anything.
So the Thursday game was Chiefs-Bills.
Right. Right.
But they don't know whether they're going to move it from Thursday yet until they know for sure that the Bills and Titans are playing.
They moved it.
So the Titans have to have 0 positive tests from here Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But and if that doesn't happen, then Chiefs-Bills stays on Thursday night.
Correct.
Yes. So there's no way. Okay. So they're either, and don't forget that Thursday night is the presidential debate.
Is the Joe Biden talking to people TV show.
They moved it to virtual. One candidate pulled out. The other candidate pulled out. So now, Breach has pointed out,
one of the candidates said he wouldn't do virtual?
Right.
Why not?
That's a question that only...
Podcasts all the time on virtual.
That's a question only...
Nixon and Kennedy did a virtual debate. What's
virtual has a mute button, and some people don't like that.
Okay. I guess it was Biden.
By the way, if anybody needs a mute button besides the presidential debate, it's me and Breach.
For me? Okay.
I love laughing at my own jokes.
I think what the NFL is hoping then is that they don't have to play a Thursday night game. That means they play the Titans Bills on Sunday and then they play Chiefs Bills on Sunday as well. The following Sunday, and there's just no Thursday game. And you get a bye from Thursdays, which frankly, guys.
Good for us, right?
We could use.
And we get Tuesday football.
I can take my wife on a date, even though we don't leave the house. I'll cook her dinner or something.
I might do the same thing.
We kept the baby alive for 6 months. That will be like the date theme.
Okay, here's what we don't do. We don't tell our wives that there's no Thursday football until Thursday. Because then if we do that, somebody will flip. They'll be like, surprise, Vikings, Jaguars, yeah. It's a pop-up game. It's
like, right.
That would absolutely happen.
That's on a date. Are you kidding me? Okay. That's the Thursday night recap. I cannot believe Sean Wagner stopped by.
Whoop,
I was just thinking how he was like, I was like, I can't wait. I hope he listens to this little punk.
Yeah, you were lighting him up too, and then he appeared.
I just said it was Beetlejuice, man. Like, no, I remember what I was saying. I just heard bling bling, and then this Sean.
And if people are still listening to me, like, none of us had any idea this was happening. This Devo did not tip off me and Wilson, so we could laugh at Brenton even harder. We had no idea.
That's pretty good, Devo.
It's like a surprise birthday party.
All right, let's get out of here. Make sure and check out the Best Bets podcast. It's in the feed with myself, RJ White, Kenny White, and Pete Prisco. Of course, we will have our other signature show on Sunday. Sunday recapping all the action from week 5. See you guys soon.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.